Chapter 26. As Khan, Majo, and the Legion tore themselves apart around them, Tethys drew close to his Primarch, hands spread wide.
"Father, please," he begged. "I know you felt my mind within yours, within the memories of your life. I know who you are."
Tethys reached out to his father's mind and bridged it to his own. He plunged through its tortured depths, hauling out the image of him, bursting loose from the caves that imprisoned the Decian gladiators with his brothers and sisters at his back. The two watched within their minds as Angron led the revolt, striking back against the High Riders that had put them in bondage and made cruel sport of their lives for their own amusement. With makeshift weapons and even their own chains, they charged into their jailers, butchering them with all of the fury and skill they had been forced to learn to survive on the hot dust. Then Tethys was on the ground, the air driven from his lungs, with Angron pounced atop him.
"And then I saw them," Angron hissed. "I finally saw them. No walls, no maggot's eyes, nothing more to hide behind. I saw the High Riders that for my entire life I had built into gods. I expected gods, but all I found were men. Weak, stick-thin things that reeked of fear and piss, mewling and begging that I suddenly cease in doing what I had done every hour I was alive, to stop being what they had made me into. A butcher, a killer. Those weaklings did this to me."
Angron swung a backhand, wrenching Tethys' head violently to one side, before reaching up to claw at his nails.
"They did this to me. I killed and I killed and I killed and I killed, and I swore I would not stop until every one of them was dead. Your father isn't here. Angron died that day, surrounded by his bonded kin. He never left New Syria."
He gripped the librarian by his shoulders, lifting him off the ground and slamming him back down again and again. He looked down and saw Tethys, his face a broken, bleeding mask, staring up at him, doing nothing to resist. The look on the world-eater's face pained Angron, not from his sixth sense, but because he could not tell what filled Tethys' eyes. Was it dread or pity? For a moment, Angron's rage ebbed.
"This thing in me. He could see it. My brothers, my sisters, they all saw it too."
"I saw it,"
whispered Tethys, the low rasp of collapsed lungs.
"It's gone now."
Angron shook his head in a scrape of cables, as though he could rid himself of the thought like a louse. With a snarling bark, he threw a volley of punches at the ground, digging a crater on either side of Tethys' head.
"And I took it. Drove it out of me with everything else. There's nothing left in me but iron and smoke. No other sound but the song of the nails."
"I don't believe that,"
Tethys whispered.
"We can help you. The Emperor can help you."
"No!"
Angron snarled. He struck Tethys, and the librarian went limp as a doll.
"He can keep his grand society and carry it with him all the way to the grave. He has taken more than he could ever give, and soon all of this will come crashing down."
He took Tethys' head in his hands and dashed it against the ground.
"What will be left?"
He smashed it down again, feeling the skull crack in his fists.
"Nothing. Exactly what we deserve. The others hold themselves up as my betters, and I will take joy in watching them fall. But I will do my part, just as they demand of me. Simple, furious Angron!"
He dropped Tethys to the dust, leaning down to whisper in his son's ear. He spoke, even though Tethys had been dead for some time.
"I will go between the stars and spill blood and take skulls, and I will leave the Emperor exactly what he left for me. Nothing but a graveyard, an endless field of bones stabbing out from salted earth."
Majo wasn't fighting his brother. The brother he knew was dead, and the creature that had replaced him fought unlike anything he had seen. His brothers fell around him, no match for the nails. They were too much. The axe flew from his hands. Blows split his flesh and clubbed him to the ground. He raised his head, looked out through blood-stained eyes. He watched his kin butcher each other, their cherished brotherhood devolving into frothing madness. He watched Lork's massive form wading through the hacking blades, the fires of Malkoia glinting from him as their last hope to prevent the nails bled away to nothing. Majo tried to push himself up, but crashed back to the ground. He strained to stare up at Khan, no longer seeing the brother he had sworn to give his life for, only a butcher.
"This road will kill us all," Majo wheezed. "Everything we are, the Brotherhood, the nobility, all of it will be erased. History will never know what we once were, only what you would have us become. A horde of marauding berserkers, driven by nothing save the impulse to spill blood. Reavers and murderers, not warriors. How long do you think you can live as monsters before you force the Emperor to act? How long before the Eaters of Worlds join the others, the forgotten and the condemned?"
Khan said nothing, only snuffing breath through bleeding lips. Majo felt strong hands haul him roughly to his knees. He looked up through the eye that could still see, and saw the face of Orontes glaring down at him, his skull riven with the accursed implants that would destroy the Legion. The eyes of his first axe, his champion of 1,000 battles, his friend, were gone, replaced by bulging reddened orbs that saw nothing but blood.
"You will fail," hissed Majo through clenched teeth. "Only ruin will follow you, and history will vindicate me."
Khan looked down, his eyes never leaving Majo's as he raised his axe.
"No, brother, it won't, because you will not be there to right it."
In a scream of blurring teeth, the axe fell.